and so Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. No, don't clap. Don't clap out there. Just don't clap. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Oh. I'm glad some people don't listen. I'll be honest about it. I've sung solos in churches since Don was a young man. No. And it's always a thrill because to find songs that have such a message, and I know that you know, Danny Boy is songs that you've heard, you know, your whole lifetime, and what a wonderful theme that is, what a wonderful sound, the way that music is written, it touches everyone's soul. And for those of you who know the song Danny Boy, it's a very, very sad song. And I was talking to Terry, and he knew the first verse of Danny Boy. I knew the second verse. I said, you got to listen to the second verse over there because it is so sad. And then when you have that same song and Dottie Rambo gets a hold of it and she goes, boy, he looked beyond my faults. And he saw my need. You can start to feel the strength, the power that these songs that we sing, when they have a message that resonates within your heart. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. In the garden. There are so many songs that when we sing them and we hear the songs and they start to resonate and they kind of get in your mind, they get in your heart and they kind of get going inside. I'm waiting to hear on the trumpet, it is well, it is well, it is well. Rich is talking about leaving. He ain't leaving till he plays us that trumpet. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. We're going to lock the doors, not going anywhere until we hear from that trumpet. Because we're all ready. We're all ready to go. And it's kind of amazing when you think about the God that we serve. When you think about he and Nancy, when she was sharing this morning about showing our love one to another as God has shown his love to us. And you think about how precious and how warm and how generous God has been to us here at Mount Calvary because he has allowed us to form a family. And this is very close to me because for the last, my brother left on Thursday and he'd been here for around 10, 11 days, and that was one of the longest times that we've spent together. People don't quite realize this. I was about 13 years old when my brother went into the service. He went in the Navy. It was towards the end it was right in the middle of the Vietnam War. And I can remember my father saying to him, he said, Paul, he says, I've seen how you move and all like that. He says, we don't want you in the Army. He says, we want to get you somewhere safe out on a boat. That's what he told him. So Paul went down and he enlisted into the Navy. And he left home. Went up to Great Lakes. And for the next 26 years, the only time that I would see him is occasionally when he was, you know, was on leave. So for such a large portion of life, we really had very little time together. I remember, after a basic training, he came back and actually picked me up on a Saturday afternoon, took me down to Alexandria, Virginia, to the Reed Theater. Come on, Virginia. You know what I'm talking about, to the Reed Theater. Oh, I'm sorry, she's a good church girl. She never went to a movie, excuse me. But you heard of people that did go to movies. I remember, you heard of people that did go to movies over there. And we went down to see one of the classic, one of those things will just, it will increase your knowledge and appreciate, we went to see Laurel and Hardy, the classic movies on there. And they had a whole little, they had like four or five of them on that afternoon. I think they finished it up with some King Kong, Godzilla, I don't know what all, but I'll tell you one thing, just the fact that my older brother had invited me to go along with him on that, wow, it's a memory that I just treasure. And to have him here and get to go eat dinner and see him on a day-to-day, wow. And he had such wonderful things to say about you at Mount Calvary Community Church. And it kind of touched my heart, and it kind of made me realize about how God is moving in ways that we don't even understand. I know there are things that are troubling us. I could hear and the sincerity and the honesty that Rich, when he was sharing in his prayer request today. But I'll tell you one thing, brothers, we don't know. We don't know what God has in store. But I'll tell you one thing, God has in store for us great, tremendous things. And I know there's a yearning within our souls that we simply want to do more for Him. That's what you have. I know when these ladies come into the Sunday school class. Now, this is just a warm-up to the sermon. Don't worry. My voice is a little lower than usual. We have all this pollen and all these things going around. I love the blooms of spring. I especially love those tulip trees. Anybody like those tulips? Oh, they just, oh. I just stop and go, how pretty. But when it happens, then my voice just wants to just drop down in those lower ranges. And I know when I was up in Bible college, one of the fellow students, came with me. She says, I just love your voice. Because whenever you speak, I want to fall asleep. It's true. And I go, thank you, I think. But so I apologize for being a little lower range today, but I am so excited about what I feel that God is doing in our lives and how He is allowing us to simply be a part of what He is doing, in our midst. Now, I'm going to read, and I kind of felt bad last week. The fam was here. I was all excited. I lost my notes. I was like, oh. And I thought I'd try to do good for Hunter, but he was keeping me on point there. I'm going to read the book of St. John. I'm going to read in the 16th chapter, and I think it's something that will speak to us, because if we are going to move on to where God wants us to be, if we're going to be the Christian men and women that God has appointed us to be, we need help. And I think we find this in a scripture that has made me scratch my head a little bit, because it has a little phrase in it that I questioned at certain times. And when we get there, I'll kind of let you know. 16th chapter. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming. I want you to listen to this. The time is coming that whosoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. Boy, that's pertinent for today, isn't it? When you look at the news, when you realize all the battles that are going on, the wars that we are dealing with, but it's the powers, the principalities, those issues of darkness that we have to deal with simply because we have our faith in God, the only God, and Jesus, His only Son, and that path, the only way to have salvation. Whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Now here's where it gets a little different. It gets a little strange in my understanding, my thinking process. In the 5th verse, but now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And then in the 7th verse, and I want you to pay close attention to the 7th verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. I want you to hear that again. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing on the reading your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. That is a very strange scripture to me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Who's saying that? Jesus. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now, I don't know how your mind thinks, but sometimes I just kind of, I wonder what it would be like had I have lived in the time when Jesus walked upon this earth. I wonder what it would like to actually hear. Curious to know what he sounded like, what he looked like. How would it have been if you would have lived in different times in history? How would it have been to kind of stand there with the multitudes or possibly being around the inner circle when Jesus was just saying private things to those that he loved the most, Peter, John? How it would have been the way he performed the miracles. How it would have been to be there in one of the ones when he saw so many and he picked out different ones and he said, "You, simply a fisherman, come and follow me." How it would have been when he was surrounded with, really when you think about it, a pretty ragtag crew when you think about those disciples that he had at that time. Not the ones that we would pick out, but the ones that Jesus knew in his mind and heart. That these men would take the gospel and absolutely change the world. How it would have been. But then I read when it says here in this scripture that it is to your advantage that I go away. It's a very unique thing when you read and study in the Bible and it talks about the Old Testament. So many times when it refers to God, it refers to the great leaders and the great things that God did. And it talks about God with us. God with us, we did this. God with us, this. When they went into battle, God be with us, be with us. But then we get over the New Testament, and it uses a little different phrase. It talks about God in us. It talks about God in us. You know, when you speak and when you preach and when we're sharing with folks and you mention God the Father, all the people are good, and you talk about God the Son and Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, and coming up Easter, and we talk about the wonderful thing, resurrection morning, the things we sing about, the things we'll preach about, so many people will be so enlightened and so excited to show their appreciation for what Jesus did because they've accepted him in their heart. But then, we talk about the Holy Spirit, and everybody kind of, yeah. For some reason, the Holy Spirit just doesn't get quite the appreciation, I think, that when we think about God the Father, God the Son, it's sort of like he played on the JV team or something. It's sort of like he didn't quite measure up. But then I wonder why Jesus in his statement here says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." Jesus living within me, his Holy Spirit is the thing that gives me the power to live the life for him that I am trying to do. Now, there are a lot of people that have professed their belief and faith in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and they still struggle with their lives. They still struggle with their Christian walk. Now, I tell you, this is an easy sermon for me to give because I'll tell you, listen right now, I just paint a big bullseye right on me. Because so many times in my life, I have been guilty of trying to do it. Make it happen. If I work a little harder, if I spend a little more time, if I. Instead of, why don't we just let God do it? Why don't we let God lead us, guide us, direct us? Less of me and more of Him. Every believer who has asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart is filled with His Holy Spirit. That is the helper. But the question is, do you access the power that God has given you? It states it in the Scripture. Greater is He that who? That what? But wait a minute. A little softer. Greater is He that lifteth me than he that what? Good. One person's left. Listening. I like that. Greater is He that lives within me than he that lives within this whole world. I have the power living within me, but it's up to me to use it. I'm riding a car. I have my good friend, co-worker McGill's next to me, and we head out. We're on the highway. We're going south. He goes, whoop. There's a traffic jam ahead. I kind of look over like this, and I go, clairvoyant? No. I know him, he is not. And he'd had his phone out, you know. He doesn't have a, what do you call that, a tidbit? What do you call that thing? A fizzbit. A Fitbit. He didn't have any Fitbit. He's got a smartphone. For those of you that have smartphones, it's the phone that is smart. I know because I've gotten one. And it, with me carrying around, good thing they don't put out little claims for false advertising. He had his phone out. Boom, boom, boom. I guess, oh, it's going to be traffic. You're going to hit it in about 2 miles. And I'm like, sure enough, seeing the traffic, pulling off the exit. And I said, man. I said, that's pretty sharp. He says, oh, your phone does that too. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Your phone does that too. What are you laughing at? You know? Yeah. You just don't know how to do it. How many people have had that television, have had that little things, you know, and say, man, I can't wait till that little tiny niece and nephew comes by and shows me how to use this thing. Come on. Hooks it up for me. Allows me to use what is at my fingertips, but I just don't have a clue. Let me tell you, we've got a lot of Christians like that. God has given us such power, but we have to be willing to get into His Word. We have to be willing to make a commitment to Him, not just on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. This is a daily thing about how I am going to live my life. How I am going to have the Holy Spirit living within me. How I am going to place the power that allows me to deal with the things that I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis and simply follow Him. I think the most frustrated people in churches today, people that have heard the message and they go, boy, that makes sense to me. It strikes a chord in my heart. I realize I'm a sinner and I appreciate God that You sent Your Son to die for me and I accept Him. There's a lot of people that have a Savior, but they're lacking a Lord of their lives. There's a lot of people that still just try and try, and you keep on trying. You know, that thing that I deal with, and I tell people I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to do, and end up doing the same thing that I did before. Because there's no power in the life. The seventh verse. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. That Holy Spirit that we talk about, that thing of God living within us, not having to fight the battles with my own mind, but allowing God's leading to simply come in and take over. And the saddest thing about it, it says, oh, keep playing, I like it. You know, the thing that kind of amazes me is that it's those scriptures talking about weakness, and through your weakness He is made strong. I don't like it. Never have liked it. But I know it's true, and it's something that I personally have got to deal with. I don't like to be seen as weak. But I have to be weak to allow Him to strengthen me. Can you imagine walking in an interview? You're going to tell them your weakness. You know, I'm not usually on time. I'm pretty much procrastinating everything I do. I really don't get along well with other co-workers. They're not as good as I am. And I really don't know how to turn a computer on. When do I start? Now, would you do that? No. But that's what God tells us to do. God tells us, as we share in our weakness, He is made strong. He is made strong. We've got some talented folks, and I thank God each and every day. She was playing something on the piano, and all the keys were used. Out of 88, we had 88 being used. Terry's over. Terry's looking, listening. You can have all the talent in the world, but if we don't have God's Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, directing us, that's what makes the difference, folks. That's what gives us the strength. That's what allows us to just, to boldly not be ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the thing that has given us life and liberty and eternal life. I'm going to read a scripture that I had in my notes last week. If you grew up like I did, you know what leftovers are. Although we didn't have that many, we pretty much cleaned everything up the table before we left. But this is a scripture that I had from last week. And it's taken from The Message. I have the New King James Version that I read out of and preach out of. But I want to read you this scripture, and then we're going to close in prayer. Matthew 11, 28 through the 30th verse. And this is that Message version. I love this. Are you tired? Worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We have heard the song sung, God. We have heard the prayer request. We have heard praises. God, we have read your scripture. And hopefully, God, you have touched our hearts. You've allowed us to simply be open and honest, knowing that, God, we simply need more of you. Our desire today is that when people walk out of this sanctuary, they feel they're simply a little bit closer to you, God. They're asking questions that need to be asked. They're looking for answers from you instead of trying to do everything and solve it all on their own. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to simply continue to lead us, guide us, direct us. Just fill us up, God, so that we fully realize the wonderful grace that you've given us and the way that your Spirit will lead us to all truths. Now give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building. Lift up those prayer requests that we mentioned before once again. And be your will, bring us back into the family of God, into this sanctuary one more time. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen, amen. Turn to 543. Sing that one together. Let's all stand. We'll do one verse in the chorus and then use this verse. 543. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been one.